The next thing I remember is that I began to walk. Very rationally, I tried to recognize landmarks, such as mountains in the distance, in order to orient myself. I had been obsessed by cardinal points throughout the whole experience, and I believed that north had to be to my left. I walked in that direction for quite a while before I realized that it was daytime, and that I was no longer using my night vision. I remembered I had a watch, and I looked at the time. It was 8 o'clock. It was about 10 o'clock when I got to the ledge where I had been the night before. Don Juan was lying on the ground asleep. "Where have you been?" he asked. I sat down to catch my breath. After a long silence, he asked, "Did you see him?" I began to narrate to him the sequence of my experiences from the beginning, but he interrupted me, saying that all that mattered was whether I had seen him or not. He asked how close to me Mescalito was. I told him I had nearly touched him. We drank some water and started to walk. When we reached the edge of the valley, he seemed to hesitate for a moment before deciding which direction to take. Once he had made his choice, we walked in a straight line. Every time we came to a peyote plant, he squatted in front of it and very gently cut off the top with his short, serrated knife. We collected 65 buttons. When the bag was completely filled, he put it on my back and strapped a new one to my chest. By the time we had crossed the plateau, we had 2 full sacks containing 110 peyote buttons. The bags were so heavy and bulky that I could hardly walk under their weight and volume. Don Juan whispered to me that the bags were heavy because Mescalito wanted to return to the ground. He said it was the sadness of leaving his abode which made Mescalito heavy. My real chore was not to let the bags touch the ground, because if I did, Mescalito would never allow me to take him again. At one particular moment, the pressure of the straps on my shoulders became unbearable. Something was exerting tremendous force in order to pull me down. I felt very apprehensive. I noticed that I had started to walk faster, almost at a run. I was in a way trotting behind Don Juan. Suddenly the weight on my back and chest diminished. The load became spongy and light. I ran freely to catch up with Don Juan, who was ahead of me. I told him I did not feel the weight any longer. He explained that we had already left Mescalito's abode. Tuesday, July 3, 1962. "I think Mescalito has almost accepted you," Don Juan said. "Why do you say he's almost accepted me, Don Juan?" "He did not kill you or even harm you. He gave you a good fright, but not a really bad one. If he had not accepted you at all, he would have appeared to you as monstrous and full of wrath. Some people have learned the meaning of horror upon encountering him and not being accepted by him." Don Juan inquired periodically, in a casual way, about the state of my datura plant. In the year that had elapsed from the time I replanted the root, the plant had grown into a large bush. It had seeded, and the seed pods had dried, and Don Juan judged it was time for me to learn more about the devil's weed. Monday, January 28, 1963. Don Juan said, "If you complete the second step successfully, I can show you only one more step. In the course of learning about the devil's weed, I realized she was not for me, and I did not pursue her path any further." "What made you decide against it, Don Juan?" "The devil's weed nearly killed me every time I tried to use her. Once it was so bad I thought I was finished, and yet I could have avoided all that pain." "How? Is there a special way to avoid pain?" "Yes, there's a way." "Is it a formula, a procedure, or what?" "It is a way of grabbing onto things. For instance, when I was learning about the devil's weed, I was too eager. I grabbed onto things the way kids grab onto candy. The devil's weed is only one of a million paths. Anything is one of a million paths. Un camino entre cantidades de caminos. Therefore, you must always keep in mind that a path is only a path. If you feel you should not follow it, you must not stay with it under any conditions. To have such clarity, you must lead a disciplined life. Only then will you know that any path is only a path, and there's no affront to oneself or to others in dropping it if that is what your heart tells you to do. But your decision to keep on the path or to leave it must be free of fear or ambition. I warn you, look at every path closely and deliberately. Try it as many times as you think necessary. Then ask yourself, and yourself alone, one question. This question is one that only a very old man asks. My benefactor told me about it once when I was young, and my blood was too vigorous for me to understand it. And now I do understand it. I will tell you what it is. Does this path have a heart? All paths are the same. They lead nowhere. They are paths going through the bush or into the bush. In my own life, I could say I have traversed long, long paths, but I am not anywhere. My benefactor's question has meaning now. Does this path have a heart? If it does, the path is good. If it doesn't, it is of no use. Both paths lead nowhere, but one has a heart, the other doesn't. One makes for a joyful journey as long as you follow it. You're one with it. The other will make you curse your life. One makes you strong, the other weakens you.